Any feeling of guilt that does not have a biblical basis to it is false guilt. You're not going to see God heaping guilt on His children anywhere in the Word of God. It's not there.
Welcome to the Friday edition of In Touch, the teaching ministry of Charles Stanley. Do you struggle with unrelenting feelings of guilt and remorse? On today's edition of In Touch, Charles Stanley once again assists us in our efforts to win over life struggles, this time helping us overcome the struggle with guilt. Our victory over this crushing emotion begins when we understand what really happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross. When we place our faith in Him, we are forgiven, totally, completely. Our account is cleared, and nothing that we do or have done can change that. Once you grasp that truth, you can experience the joy of the Lord because you will be free from the chains of guilt. Here's Charles Stanley to explain.
What do you experience when you have feelings of guilt? Now, more than likely, we could ask many people that question and get lots of answers. But sometimes a person says, well, I have a feeling of dread. Something bad is going to happen when I feel guilty. Or I feel unworthy. Or I feel dirty. I feel stained. Somehow I feel like a failure. So there are lots of feelings people have when they have feelings of guilt. So what I want to do in this message entitled, because of our series entitled Winning Over the Struggles of Life, this one is entitled Winning Over Our Struggle with Guilt. I want us to look at the three types of guilt that we have to deal with in life and how we respond, because if we don't understand that there's more than one type, then we'll treat them all the same. But first of all, I want to give you a definition of guilt, and if you may just want to jot this down, it might be simple for you to go back and look at it. But guilt is a sense of wrongdoing. It is a sense of wrongdoing, an emotional conflict that arises out of having second thoughts on something we've done. It is a sense of wrongdoing, an emotional conflict that arises out of second thoughts on something that we have done. And all of us, when we think about what guilt is, it is because we think about something that has happened in the past, or even we thought something that happened in the past, or we thought that we had done wrong, or maybe we did. You may look back in your life and see something that you have done, and you have asked the Lord to forgive you, and He has forgiven you. If you keep bringing up old trash, and you keep feeling guilty over something that God has forgiven you for, that is false guilt. Oftentimes, false guilt is primarily those things and feelings that we have that we can't really even identify, but yet the feeling of guilt is there. So with that in mind, I want us to look at this whole idea. And I want you to turn, if you will, to 1 John chapter 1. And I want us to read a couple of verses here, because herein lies, I believe, one of the key verses in the Scripture about our ability not to feel guilty. Now, if I should ask you, does the Bible promote guilt? That is, does God promote in the Scriptures that His children should feel guilty? And the answer is no. In fact, the word's not found very many times in the Bible. In fact, in the Gospels, most of the times it is Pilate referring to Jesus that he can't find any guilt in Christ. But look, if you will, at these verses. Beginning in verse 5 of this first chapter, he says, "And this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all, no sin. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, I want you to go back to Ephesians chapter 1 for a moment, and we'll come back to this verse in a little while. But in Ephesians chapter 1, as Paul has been talking about how blessed we are and how God has chosen us, he comes to the 7th verse, and here's what he says, speaking of the Lord Jesus. He says, "In Him," that is in Christ, "we have redemption," that is our salvation, "through His blood," that is the work of the cross, "the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us," not according to our conduct, not because of our behavior, but he says we have forgiveness because of His grace, the riches of His grace toward us, which He's lavished upon us. Now, with that in mind, I want us to look for just a moment and examine why we feel guilty. That is, why do we have these false senses of guilt? That is, what causes us to have false guilt, psychological guilt? Well, I think one of the primary reasons is this. We have been taught wrongly. And if you grew up in a church that is very legalistic and has lots of rules and regulations, and you must do this and you must not do that, what will happen is that is an environment that develops a sense of false guilt. Now, I know that some people would have a difficult time with me saying that, especially if they are a member of some church that is very legalistic, but I want to tell you, it creates an atmosphere of false guilt. If I grow up thinking that everything is wrong, then I am going to have a sense of guilt. And it is a false sense of guilt. God did not mean to take all the pleasures out of life. And so therefore, if we grow up thinking that this is wrong and that is wrong, and if you don't read the Bible a certain amount every week, and if you don't pray a certain amount, and if you don't witness to us, and if you don't give so much, that is, I could heap up a great heap of legalism right here this morning by saying, you know, about how much you read the Bible, how much you pray. Well, let me ask you, how much should you read the Bible? How much should you pray? How often should you witness? That is, nobody can answer that for someone else. And to place those kind of rules and regulations on people causes great guilt in their life. And I can tell you that that's the way I sort of grew up. How much was I supposed to read the Bible? I'll tell you how much I always concluded. A little bit more than I did. How much more should I pray? A little more than I prayed. How many people should I witness to? Surely far more than I did. And so there's a sense of guilt. It's sort of in the air. It's the climate. It's the environment. A second reason I believe that we have that is because of childhood memories. There are people who have been abused sexually, or they've been abused physically in some fashion, or verbally. And so they grew up feeling guilty because somewhere in their family someone said, well, if you'd have been what you ought to have been, that wouldn't have happened to you, or things wouldn't be the way they are if you'd have done so and so. And so they just have this sense of guilt. Well, they must be guilty. It must be their fault. Why? They can't tell you anything they did. They can't tell you anything that they chose. It was no sin on their part. It was something that somebody heaped on them. And so they live with a sense of guilt. I must be wrong. I must be unworthy. I must be unfit. It was my fault. I should not have. Should, oughts, and must. I should have done this. I ought have done that. And I must do this. If you live and you grow up under should, oughts, and must, you're going to grow up under a cloud of heavy guilt, a sense that you have either done something wrong or you are wrong. God would never tell you as a believer through the Holy Spirit that you are wrong. He may say, this is wrong in your life and this needs to be corrected, but He's never going to say, you're bad, you're wrong. So oftentimes it is childhood experiences. Sometimes it is a matter of our perfectionism. And there are lots of people who have a very perfectionistic personality. That is, they have high expectations. There's nothing wrong with having high expectations as long as they are realistic, as long as they fit God's will for your life, and as long as they fit your capabilities and talents and abilities. But when a person has expectations of themselves that are far beyond what they are physically or God-given talents are capable of achieving, what they do is they always feel guilty. I could have done better. I should have done better. I ought to have done better. I should have given more. I ought to have given more. Or they look at themselves and they just somehow can't ever live up to what they should have done. I should have provided more for my family. I should have worked harder. I should have gotten a better job. Well, if I'd have just gotten a better job, I'd have had more money. My kids wouldn't. And so on and on we go. Perfectionism, trying to live up to expectations that God would never place on anybody. Another reason is because a person oftentimes has a low sense of self-esteem. They just sort of feel like that they didn't get the breaks in life, and they don't feel like somebody. They feel like they're a little less than they ought to be. Not quite up to par. What's par? They can't tell you that. Well, how much better do they want to be? They can't even tell you that. They should weigh a little less, be a little tall, look a little better, hair should be different. That is, there's always something that they can find that causes them to feel inadequate. And so as a result, no matter what they do, they don't ever quite feel like they've done it exactly right. Listen, anything, any feeling of guilt, now listen to this, any feeling of guilt that does not have a biblical basis to it is false guilt. It is false. It is not God-given guilt. You're not going to see God heaping guilt on His children anywhere in the Word of God. It's not there. And so when you look at the reasons, for example, that people feel guilty psychologically, what you and I can say is that anything that we feel guilty about, if it's a sin that we have already confessed and repented of and Satan's hashing it up again, false guilt, we're no longer guilty. Any of these attitudes and feelings that we have that we can't put our finger on biblically, it's false guilt. scratch it, it's not real. And so what happens is this. Satan uses false guilt to harass God's people. Well, you should have, you ought, you must. Look at you, you could have done better. Is that all you read the Bible? If you think about all the reasons that for which people feel guilty, for believers, about 90% of it is false guilt. They cannot tell you exactly why they feel guilty. Now, friend, that's false. It is not of God, and He does not want us having those feelings. And so those kind of feelings do not fit who we are. So when you look at the reasons for our guilt, there is that psychological guilt, that's false guilt. Now, what about biblical guilt? Well, biblical guilt is this. It is this feeling that I have, this anxiety in my spirit over a definite, deliberate, that is a willful sin. That is, biblical guilt is the result of committing an act of sin. Now, no time in the Bible does we find the Holy Spirit talking about you're bad or you're evil. The Spirit of God convicts us of specific sins. If I have gossiped about someone, if I have stolen something, lied, or committed some act, some violation of Scripture, the Holy Spirit never does say, you're just bad. The Holy Spirit says, that is a sin. The Holy Spirit says, you know you shouldn't have done that. God always, through His Spirit, identifies what we have done so that our guilty feelings, when they're based on the Scriptures, it is something definitely we can deal with. So biblical guilt is guilt based on a specific violation of the Word of God, and it is to be dealt with as sin, not some hazy, foggy something out yonder that you cannot identify and cannot understand. Now, what we have to ask is this. What is the result of these guilty feelings in our life? Now, here's what I want you to remember. It doesn't make any difference whether your guilt is false or whether it's true guilt. Whether it is because of something we have done, deliberately, willful, and active against God, and we feel guilty about it, or if it's something we just feel. What I want to talk about now are the results. That is, and how does this result in us? It doesn't make any difference whether it is real or whether it is unreal. I want to say that because it's so very important. False guilt, listen, false guilt leaves the same effect upon us as true guilt does. Now, why? Why, and what are the results? What happens in a person's life? One of the first things that happens in a person's life when they begin to feel guilty is doubt. In the life of the believer, one of the things that happens is doubt. What do we doubt when we are feeling guilty? Well, we doubt whether God loves us or not. We doubt God's presence. We doubt God's provision for us. We doubt the promises of God. One of the things that we doubt, and you think about this, when you have sinned and you know you have, or you're feeling guilty and you get down to pray, what happens? You have a very, very, listen, a difficult struggle with believing that God is going to answer your prayer if you are overwhelmed with a sense of guilt. If Satan is harassing you and bringing up your past and badgering you with your past, and you're down asking God to do something for you, it is very difficult to have a sense of faith. And so we doubt. Then there is fear. What guilt does, it brings upon us fear. Fear of the judgment of God. A fear of God's disapproval. A fear of God's rejection of us. Fear that we'll be found out for something in the past. Fear of loss of health. Fear of loss of your financial security. But fear, and guilt go hand in hand. Fear is always a result. Then there is the desire for punishment. You remember when you were raising your children and they would just keep on doing wrong and keep on doing wrong until finally you gave them a good spanking, and what happened? I mean, it's like they said, whew, took me a whole lot of wrongdoing to finally get a spanking. Because they felt better after they were spanked because they knew they deserved it. Why does a criminal, having been put in prison, goes out and does something bizarre in some kind of crime and gets thrown back in prison? And what happens? They feel better because deep down inside, they want to be punished. They feel so guilty, they are absolutely going crazy till somebody decides to punish them. And so a desire for punishment. Insecurity is certainly one of the results of feeling guilty. Insecurity, you know what happens? A person never feels secure about anything. They never have quite enough money. They don't have enough friends. No matter how well their friends may approve of them, they haven't said quite enough. And so there's just this overwhelming sense of insecurity for which they cannot put their finger on it. Now, they can come up with something, well, I need more money, when they don't. Well, I need more this, I need more that. Well, if this were true and that were true, well, I'm afraid I'm going to get sick. Well, you know, you and I could work up a nervous breakdown in a few minutes if we turn our thinking over to the devil, because he is going to cloud you with every way he possibly can. Now, feelings of inadequacy. Then there's compulsive behavior. A person, for example, who feels guilty, oftentimes, how do they respond? They just get busy and stay busy. Busy, 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 busy. Why? Because they are trying oftentimes to pay God back. Now, they don't even realize that often. They're trying to pay God back, trying to work up some kind of divine approval. Listen, when you trust that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, you have all the approval you'll ever get from God. He approves of you not because of your conduct and behavior, but because you're one of His children. And so when we think about how this works in our life, it brings upon us all kinds of pain, and it's emotional pain. And so we feel this compulsive behavior. There are men and women in the ministry who are in the ministry because of their past, because they think their past is so bad that somehow they've got to pay God back. Now, what's the best way, humanly thinking, to pay God back? Get in the ministry, preach the gospel, go to the mission field, sacrifice for God, or do something that would cause them to feel like that they are serving God, working, getting God's approval, and paying God off for forgiving them because of their sin. Listen, you can't pay God off. How in the world are you going to repay God for your sin? How long are you going to have to work? How diligent are you going to have to be? How much are you going to have to sacrifice? Making amends for wrongs done, that's one thing. Getting into the ministry to pay God back and to work and to sacrifice and burn yourself out to prove to God that you're worthy of salvation, never, 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 never. But that is one of the awful results of guilt. That is, a person tries to do something that they're absolutely, it's impossible to do. Then one of the results of guilt is this: the inability to experience the pleasures of life. Now, I can remember coming along, and for a long time, this is certainly one of the things that Satan clouded me with. I felt like, as a pastor, if I were not preaching or praying or studying the Word of God, if I were not witnessing or doing something in the church, that I was guilty. Now, guilty of what? I couldn't tell you what it was. It's just that I felt like being called of God. You know, I had to be busy doing something for the Lord 24 hours a day. Now, I knew I couldn't do it 24 hours a day. And you see, the idea of being burned out, sacrifice for God, just burn out for Jesus. Well, nothing could be further from the truth than that. I had to get over the fact that I couldn't even enjoy life for the pressure of thinking I ought to be doing this and ought to be doing that. Listen, should, oughts, and musts will drive you into the ground. Nowhere in the Bible does He say Christians should live under this: should, oughts, and musts. Now, another result is the physical results. And that is, people can work themselves to death and get themselves physically in such a state of worrying and fretting and fear over what they don't have and what may happen in their life, until physically they can get into states of depression, they can get discouraged, they can physically begin to be ill, mentally they can become ill, and people commit suicide oftentimes because they get to the place they think that they just can't live up to their expectations and things are not right. And if you ask them, well, what is it you're guilty of, and what is it that you're so afraid of? They can't even tell you. Something inside of them is so distorted, Satan has so harassed them, and so has such control of their emotions, they can't handle life, and so it's better to check out than to keep living with this frustration which they can't identify. And this is the thing that's so subtle about false guilt: you can't identify it. That is, unless somebody instruction tells you how. How do you identify these things? And this is the reason we said in the very beginning, one of the reasons people feel guilty is wrong teaching. Wrong teaching. And when people have been taught wrongly, they feel guilty. And think about, I think about going through life the way I began and feeling guilty about things of not giving God enough time and not doing this and not doing that. That is all false guilt. And the results of that guilt in our life, physically, emotionally, and mentally, can absolutely destroy a person. And listen, you can go to the doctor and he can give you all kinds of prescriptions and all kinds of pills, but until you deal with the issue, all you'll do is become an addict. Listen, pills do not alleviate guilt. It takes more than some prescription. It takes a relationship with Jesus Christ. It takes a proper understanding of what guilt is all about and how we ought to be dealing with this guilt. You may be one of those persons over which guilt has just hovered. I mean, it's just sort of hovered over you. And all of a sudden, when you begin to affirm, I'm somebody special, made in the likeness of my Lord. I'm somebody who's truly loved, loved by God. I'm someone who's been forgiven. And if I'm forgiven, then what's all this guilty feeling? Where's all this coming from? It's not coming from God. And if it's not coming from God, it's coming from the devil. Then reject it. You can reject it. You simply say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I reject these feelings of guilt. They have no biblical basis. Therefore, it's false. It's a lie. And I refuse to acknowledge it. And you know what will happen? The cloud's going to disappear. You know why? Because it has no basis, and you have put it on the run because you have responded to false guilt in the proper fashion. You have affirmed who you are, special in the eyes of God. You're affirmed how He looks upon you, that He loves you. You're affirmed of what He's done for you. He has forgiven you, and therefore a forgiven child of God has no reason to feel guilty. He says if we walk in the light, is He in the light, and all of us who are believers are doing that. Does that mean we're sinless? No. Make no mistakes? No. Are we stumbling at times? Yes. Forgiven? Absolutely. The blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, is continually, present tense, continually doing what? Forgiving, wiping out, and making us pure in the eyes of God.
If you find yourself walking around in a cloud of guilt, but you can't point to a specific act of sin, then, as Charles Stanley clearly explained, those feelings are lies of Satan. Reject them. Refuse them. Remember that God loves you unconditionally and never puts you on a false guilt trip. Learn more Monday on In Touch. Just before He left the earth, Jesus told His disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything He commanded. That was a specific command to first century believers, and it extends to us as well. But many Christians ignore that directive from Christ because they feel they don't understand enough about the Bible. If that's your reason for not telling others about Christ, then equip yourself by reading the In Touch magazine. Once you begin your free subscription, then each month you'll receive a magazine filled with information that will better prepare you to handle your responsibility to share Christ. To begin your free subscription, just mention the In Touch magazine when you write. Our address is In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Once again, that's In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Visit us online at intouch.org. Jesus Christ forgives us of all sin, but sometimes we still hold ourselves accountable for our actions of the past. Learn how to accept the pardon of the Lord and live with joy and peace Monday on In Touch. The teaching of Charles Stanley is touching the world with a passion for God and compassion for people. A presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.